This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Our buzzword for today is... cravings! Cravings! We're talking cravings. What foods do we get cravings of?
Chocolate.
Chocolate. Yes. Well done, chocolate.
Yes, thanks to Marjorie Dawes from Fat Fighters on Little Britain for that clue to today's programme.
Hopefully we can restrict England.
It's been around for thousands of years. It cures broken hearts and hangovers. It's loved by people of all races and creeds. It's wicked and it's sinful, but you don't want to live without it. Some of the more expensive stuff is, well, dearer and more addictive than drugs. It is, of course, chocolate, and today on Cravings we explore this wicked and seemingly unavoidable delight. Pastry chefs and chocolatiers in the studio. Most of my guests are European-born, so we're getting quite serious today. Where, of course, in Europe, chocolate is not a snack, it is a pastime. So pop the kettle on, sit back and celebrate as we share the delights and temptations that almost all love to indulge in. Today, Cravings is all about chocolate. My name's Pete Dillon. My first guest is a man that has a resume that's ridiculously long. He's not only a... now, let me get this right. A patisserie master degree. He has a master's as a chef patissier. He's from Europe. He's ridden a motorbike around the world. Ewan McGregor, sit aside as we welcome to the, well, we call it the Cravings MasterChef Kitchen, Arno Barkas. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Pete. Pleased to be here.
Now, tell me, you're a man that knows a great deal about chocolate. You have your own a place called Chocolate Ganache, Ganache Chocolate, on Turak Road in South Yarra.
That's right.
And you told me you've been making chocolate for 25 years.
That's right. I started my apprenticeship as a 15-year-old close to the French and Luxembourg border in Germany, and did my 3 years apprenticeship there and worked all over the place.
Is chocolate what keeps you looking young? You don't look anywhere near 40.
That's it. Chocolate is good for you.
Clearly you don't drink, huh? So you come from Germany, as you said, the border of France and Luxembourg, so a sort of little place. Why is that important for chocolate?
Because the food in that area is a little bit very different to anywhere else. And I guess every area has their own little specialities. And having been part of France over the history... mm-hmm. That part of the world has been French, German, etc.
Yeah.
So I do assume that some of our specialities are very specific for that area.
Let's start at the very beginning. I think that's a line from a song in a musical, something to do with Austria. Let's start at the beginning. What's chocolate? What's it made from?
Chocolate is made from cocoa mass, or we call it cocoa liquor, cocoa butter, and sugar. And it depends how it has been made, how long it has been conched, as we say.
What's conching? We'll do this step by step because certainly. People sort of, I'm sure, listeners right across the world, because we do have people that listen overseas to this program, listeners will know that sort of solid mass that right. they sort of have a little square of every now and then. This is a very long process, isn't it?
It is a very long process, and it starts mostly in the tropical belt around the world, in the north of South America, the south of North America, Africa, and Southeast Asia. And it basically grows in cocoa pots. And in the cocoa pots, you have the cocoa beans. They get harvested at the right time, at the right moment, and dried, fermented, and then crushed, pressed
out. So we dry the bean first?
Yes.
And then it's fermented? How do you ferment a cocoa bean?
It's a process with many different ways of fermenting it. It helps the bitter elements to change the bitter elements and make them a bit go away. And it needs to be done controlled.
Right. So we dry, we ferment, and then we crush.
The roasting process is somewhere in between there too.
Oh, okay.
And then it gets crushed.
Yep.
And then pressed out. So the cocoa butter has been pressed out of the cocoa mass.
Okay, and then when we rebuild the chocolate,
yes,
we are in fact putting the cocoa butter back in with the cocoa mass,
yes,
and adding some sugar.
Yes, according to the recipe that is needed.
Right, so that's dark chocolate, as what we call dark chocolate.
Correct.
And then if we want milk chocolate, we add milk solids.
Exactly, milk powder.
Jeez, I'll tell you what, this is hard work, but I think I've got it.
Yes.
So that then gives us a big lump of product.
Well, not quite that easy. We have that mass now.
Yep.
And that goes through various stages of five roller refiners, and then it goes into a so-called conch. Mm-hmm. And the conch is a machine that grinds the crystals down to a very small minimum. And that's where the cost and the quality comes.
Right. Conch is a French word for shell, is it not?
Conch is a machine, basically. It's massively big, most likely 6 to 22 tons. And it grinds the crystals down. And, for example, we at Ganache Chocolate, we use a 2-micron curvature.
2-micron curvature.
So it has been in the conch until the crystals are only 2 microns big.
Right. And then?
And then it gets tempered and made into blocks and sent out to us chocolatiers.
Excellent. Now, this is one of the questions I wanted to ask. I don't know whether you watched MasterChef. It's a recurring theme on this program.
Mm-hmm.
That beautiful dessert that the two finalists had to prepare.
Yes.
The difference was in the way that they tempered the chocolate.
Very much.
Can you
so.
Explain what that is?
Yes, you basically have many different sorts of crystals in the curvature,
mm-hmm.
and they need to be all melted down to 45, 50 degrees Celsius.
Right.
So they're all in liquid form.
Mm-hmm.
And then that needs to be brought down to 28 degrees, 29 degrees, depending on which kind of curvature you're tempering.
So we melt it and bring the temperature down.
Bring the temperature down, either with the tabling method, the seeding method, whichever method you choose to go for. And that also needs to be done with the right sort of mechanics.
Right.
For example, we teach a class purely in tempering chocolate. And we have quite a few
chefs.
And
what's the importance of tempering chocolate?
You're making the crystals to start recrystallize in a combined form. And that's how you get the shine and the snap and the break and the mouthfeel. You've probably had a chocolate bar in the back of your car that's all gone white, that's melted down and set again.
And it all don't do a lot of driving, don't have a car, and don't eat a lot of chocolate. So this is why I'm very curious, because I'm not somebody who eats a lot of chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of the very rare folk that I get more excited by a piece of cheese than I do a piece of chocolate, which brings me to a text message we've received. Hey there, we're listening in on our way to have dinner at Stefano's in Mildura. Love the show, Pete. Prefer cheese to chocolate. That's from Amanda and Glenn. Thank you, Amanda and Glenn. Nice to know that you're listening in Mildura. I'm currently in the essential ingredient at Pran. They have 5 kilo blocks of curvature. Nothing like a square of top quality dark chocolate with a coffee. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I would like to invite the gentleman over to our 250
store. Don't worry, we'll get there. We've got to be mindful of the shameless plugs. The CBAA will be all over my backside. And Grant is listening in Melbourne. Thank you, Grant. So we've now tempered the chocolate.
Yes.
What do we do with it next?
You can mold it into anything you like. Maybe a chocolate bar and add some freshly roasted hazelnuts, perhaps some dried strawberries. Or perhaps you can chocolate coat some coffee beans, or you could make a chocolate bar with roasted coffee crushed on the back.
Or you could make, like you've got here, sorry, this is, I've got it in my very hand, a 75% chocolate that has dried figs and almonds in it. And I think later this afternoon that'll be getting a run in my lounge room. Pig's bottom, it's for you. Now, I've also got in my hand some white chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, I assume that white chocolate is not, in fact, chocolate.
No, actually, in Europe, by law, it has to be called white decoration mass because there's no cocoa mass in there. So the only thing what you have in the white curvature is cocoa butter, sugar, and milk powder.
Right. So those people who say, oh, no, I don't like chocolate, I don't mind the white chocolate, they're not, in fact, eating chocolate.
Not really. No.
Okay. Where in this mass is the addictive part?
I think it's in the chemicals in what it does to the body. Basically, it triggers endorphins, which make you feel good.
Right.
And good chocolate or high-quality chocolate is actually, in fact, good for you.
How does it cure a hangover? I only asked this question because in putting together some research for today's program, I discovered that chocolate is one of the best ways to cure a hangover.
I must admit, being a master chocolatier, that goes...
You probably don't have hangovers. That's just left for the booze hags like me. And I want to talk about... chocolate's thousands of years old. This is we're going back to the Mayan Indians and the Incas in Peru and the Toltecs and the Aztecs in Mexico, who sort of started cultivating chocolate about 3,000 years ago. Its fruit appeased the gods, and hence the saying "food of the gods." Is chocolate food of the gods, or have we come up with something since?
No, chocolate couverture is still food for the gods for me. There's nothing better to work with, nothing better, more interesting to live and work with than chocolate. And chocolate used to be a currency as well at some stage.
It did, correct. And how do you stay so thin?
Eating high quality couverture.
My name is Pete Dillon. This is Cravings on Joy 94.9. From Grant in Melbourne, I'm wanting to make a dark chocolate pudding with prunes soaked in red wine and brandy, drunken prunes. Any suggestions for which chocolate to use? That's from Grant in Melbourne.
I would suggest our 60% house blend or our 75% dark couverture house blend or perhaps a Valrhona Grand Cru Trofilia at 70%. The couverture is called Grand Cru Trofilia and comes from a company called Valrhona.
Okay, are we able to spell that?
Don't ask me to spell it.
Or, alternately, if you wish, you can go to Ganache Chocolate at 250 Toorak Road, South Yarra, where you can not only go and buy chocolate, but you can also go and do chocolate courses. Tell me about these chocolate courses.
We do many different sorts of chocolate classes. The chocolate art is the most popular one, where we try all sorts of different couvertures. And I show how to temper chocolate, make truffles, make a ganache. We also have classes in chocolate tempering, making a chocolate house. Making a chocolate house out of chocolates.
How large is this house?
Oh, it's about 20, 30 centimeters tall. Depends how big you would like to build it. Also do classes in truffles, chocolate techniques, chocolate bars. And for Christmas, we have the Christmas one where we make a chocolate star filled with truffles.
So if people want to just learn the very basics on how they can sort of take a very large lump of chocolate and turn it into something particularly gorgeous, like I've got in this little bag here,
I would suggest the chocolate art.
Excellent. Excellent. So let's get back to chocolate, because there's things that I guess, again, we don't know. The Toblerone. Now, this has been around for 110 years. Did you know that?
Most European, well-known European companies have been around for about that time.
And interestingly, I also discovered that Belgium is the home of chocolate in Europe, isn't it? As far as production goes. Switzerland also is well-known for chocolate.
I would suggest if you take a Belgian person, a Swiss person, a French person, and a German person, sit them in a room trying to argue about who's the first one to make chocolate, you'll get a good argument.
But this is typical of chefs, though. I've worked with chefs, very dangerous kitchens, where there has been a German chef and a Swiss chef and a French chef and a Dutch chef and an Australian chef, and you ask them who is the best chef, and there is... Well, there's almost bloodshed.
Yes.
The reason I point to Belgium, it's a very little place, smaller than Tasmania, and it produces 170,000 tons of chocolate each year. This is equivalent to the weight of 850 Boeing 747s. That's a lot of chocolate. What on earth do they do with it?
I do believe most of it gets exported, but yes, Belgians are one of the highest consumers... amount of chocolate per head, along with the Swiss. I think the Swiss have even a higher consumption. It's the Swiss, the Belgians, the French, and then the Germans, as far as I remember.
Right. Perhaps Europe's a good place to holiday if you like chocolate. The voice you hear is that of Arno Bacchus. Am I pronouncing that right?
Arno Bacchus, yes, that's correct. Arno
Bacchus, who is from Ganache Chocolate in Toorak Road in South Yarra. He is a master patissier...
Chocolatier.
Yes. Chocolatier. I'm trying to get my my tongue around these words. It's not working. He is a master of chocolate, and if there's anybody that knows about chocolate, he is the man. So I was talking before we went to that break before and before we heard that song. You said you eat the right chocolate and therefore you don't get fat because you're clearly weigh about 11 pounds and you're eating chocolate all day.
About a kilo a week.
You eat a kilo of chocolate
roughly,
a week?
Yes.
How do you, what's the difference? This is the question that
I need to ask. The difference is to purchase the highest quality of chocolate, the highest quality of couverture, mm-hmm. with very little sugar, and which has been conched to the right size of the crystals, and it's very good quality, so therefore you're not going to put it anywhere.
What do you mean you're not going to put it anywhere?
It's not going to not going to go anywhere because your body consumes a high amount of energy mm-hmm. to break the chocolate actually down. So right. your body consumes a lot of energy to break the chocolate down, to break the energy down off the chocolate.
Okay.
And there's a lot of other foods that are more likely to go and settle in your body rather than being digested. Yes.
Yes, around this place that most things seem to settle with me. So 3,000 years on, what have we learned about chocolate?
3,000 years? Well, chocolate is... it's a fantastic food. It makes you feel great. It makes you feel happy. It's a fantastic material to make art and make fantastic things out of.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the foods, you can only do one or two things with it, but chocolate, the sky is the limit what you can do with it.
Excellent.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Now, we are, in fact, joined in the studio by another European-born man. Walter, shimmy up to that mic so we can hear you. Walter Trupp is an internationally renowned Austrian chef who is heading up a course at William Angus, called Chef at Home, where he essentially teaches you to... It's like having your very own master chef. Walter, welcome to Cravings.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. So tell me about this course, this Chef at Home, because it's not the only thing that is done at William Angus.
Yeah, well, what the course is about is basically teaching... Sorry.
There you go.
Okay. If you're really passionate about cooking...
Mm-hmm.
And you really want to know all the basics, that course really covers you with everything. So you're really going to see everything, how it should be done. There's a lot of, you know, once you hit that road and you go out there and start cooking and buy yourself books, on the way along you can make a lot of mistakes. So what this course will do, it will teach you all the fundamentals and all the right things, where you start off, and from there you can basically... go wherever you want.
So it's teaching you method?
It's teaching you methods. It's teaching you basically the foundation or the basics of cooking.
Right. Good. And how do people get involved to take part in these courses?
Well, first of all, you need to, you know, write yourself into the course.
Yep. So we need to obviously pay an amount of money.
Yeah, you pay a certain amount of money.
Yes, right, all of that business.
Yeah. And then the next thing is you... basically join the course, and each session of the course will just go into a certain topic. Like one topic will be just about making bread, the other topic will be just about making soups, stocks and sauces. So once you know all that, you should have all the knowledge like a professional chef has.
Mm-hmm.
And from there on you can basically go off and do everything else or become really creative. You know, once you understand the foundation and the basics, the sky is the limit, and that's what we really try to achieve there, to get you away from making mistakes or you know, trying things. And it's just like learning a language. I mean, I should know that myself. once you learn something wrong grammatically, it's really hard to correct that.
So for sure, cooking, and it's the same with it with a cooking skill.
Yeah.
So you would tell me that Austrian chefs are the best chefs and the pastry chefs in the world, would you not?
I would not, no.
You wouldn't?
Because there's just so many good ones out there, it's hard to say.
Okay.
But I would tell you that Austrian pastry, the style of dishes, they're definitely the best ones.
Arno, are you going to leap across and stab him with one of your chef's knives?
No, certainly not. At all. he's got a good point. You see, what we often do at Ganache Chocolate is we take the specialities from the places, mm-hmm. various different places, and make a creation.
Sure. Well, do you also do confectionery and chocolate classes at William Angus?
I don't do them, no.
You don't do them, but no, they are taught?
Yeah, look, that part or that Chef at Home course is just one course William Angus does.
Mm-hmm.
They do as well a whole lot of other ranges like Moroccan food, fish, Spanish, French. So, and all those courses are shorter. They're basically just an evening or weekend session.
Right.
And those things, they basically teach you about individual things.
Mm-hmm.
Once you understand the basics, and this is well another introduction course to do for just everyone who wants to start to learn how to cook,
uh-huh.
and that's a shorter session. And yeah, basically what William Angus offers you there is a whole variety of courses.
And what if you are just completely useless in the kitchen to start with?
All right, then you go to the Cookings for Beginners, where they teach you everything about basically how to chop onions, how right. to cut the carrot, how to organize your fridge.
We can stop right there. How to organize your fridge.
Yeah, how to organize your fridge. That can be, you know, think about food hygiene. It can get cross-contamination. A fridge works like has colder spots and warmer spots.
Sure.
A lot of people don't know that.
Like an oven has different...
Yeah, or the same, like, you know, like usually that's look in the fridge on the bottom of a vegetable drawer. So that's the warmest spot. On the top you store the milk products, and that's where the coldest spot is.
I'd like everybody listening to put their hands up if they actually, in fact, have an organized fridge. Or, given that I can't see you, you can SMS us on 0427JOY949. You can phone 96992949, or you can email on air at joy.org.au. Speaking of phone, Mark rang to ask us, Arno, could we finish the explanation about what happens when you leave chocolate in the sun and there is a chemical reaction? We did start to talk about that and I wandered off on a tangent.
That's right. Well, you simply, sometimes when you leave a chocolate bar in a warm area mm-hmm. and it melts down and then it sets again, you get this white surface on the top and it looks a little bit like mold.
Sure.
But it isn't. It's cocoa butter
right.
that has dissolved from the cocoa mass and spun to the surface and recrystallized. We chocolatiers call this, the chocolate is out of temper.
Right, so we can re-temper this chocolate?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
So the chocolate is not gone off, it has not the right mouthfeel, and it hasn't got the right melt. So you could melt it down, re-temper it, and enjoy.
This used to happen to me when I would keep my Easter eggs for too long.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same?
It's the same effect. It's the same effect. That's right.
Walter, do you like chocolate?
Yeah, I love chocolate. Yes, I do.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about your career because it's been fairly extraordinary.
Yeah.
You've worked in Austria, England, and here.
Yeah.
You were only 24 years old when you became the youngest chef in the world to receive three chef's hats in Gorte Milau, the French restaurant guide. At 24, what did you know at 24?
Not much.
So how do you score this?
Look, I worked in the best restaurant in Austria at that time for 2.5 years. So I learned a lot there. My parents had a hotel in the countryside, and I had to take that over at quite a young age.
Right.
And basically, it was just as a typical country hotel. So I wanted to do something exciting, and
yep.
made a little restaurant in the back of the restaurant.
Right.
And just gave it a try. And look, my repertoire wasn't very big in the beginning, but through studying books and trying things, got myself there and, got this award and was pretty much surprised myself.
And since coming here, you've sort of touched on the organic food thing, and your wife is also, your wife's a nutritionist?
Yeah, she's a clinical nutritionist.
Right.
So, we worked very well together.
So you're now writing books about food from a nutrition/organics perspective?
Yeah, what we're trying to do is write a book which as well goes into the whole thing, what's gone wrong with our food
since right.
industrialization, and decipher a bit all those food additives and basically certain methods, like, you know, what microwaving does to you and all those sorts of things. So it's a pretty interesting thing, but that's another thing, so I don't think...
Now, if people need to get in touch with William Angus, there is a website.
There's a website and there's as well a phone number if you want me to read it out.
Yes, that'd be good.
Okay, so the phone number is 9606-2111.
9606-2111. So that's you can ring William Angus.
Yeah, and the website is shortcourses@williamangus.edu.au.
So that's all the W's, williamangus.edu.au.
Yeah.
Excellent. Walter, thank you for joining us and telling us about Chef at Home and your career. And perhaps we need to get you back when we're doing some more sort of MasterChef moments in our little MasterChef studio here at Joy.
Thank you.
My name is Pete Dillon. This is Cravings and this is Joy. My name is Pete Dillon. This is Cravings on Joy 94.9. Scott's in Woodend saying, hi, fantastic show. I'm listening as I try to stuff and roll a 2 kilo pork loin for a belated Christmas in July. What the hell was I thinking? Scott, it'll get very easy. Open a bottle of something, have yourself a glass, and it'll all get much simpler as the day goes on. Every time the glass is empty, fill it up. And Joy rang. I did ask about people who have a totally organized fridge. She does have a totally organized fridge. Good on you, Joy, and she's enjoying the show. I'm joined now by another man who comes bearing multiple gifts. He is the German-born and trained Marcus Baum. He's the head pastry chef at the Langham Hotel in Southbank. Marcus, welcome to Cravings.
Hi, Pete. Thank you very much for having me here.
You have in front of you what could only be described as a chocolate lover's dream. My panelist here has already been munching on stuff in your absence. I'm also joined, of course, by Arno Bacchus, who is sticking around for the hour. He's a chocolate pâtissier master, which pretty much is as much as you can do with chocolate. And you are, in fact, a chef pâtissier.
That's correct, yeah.
You started when you were 14, so a few years ago.
Yeah, I did a few years ago. Four or five years ago.
I wasn't going to say many. I'm not that brave a man. What is it with chefs and being a chef myself? I started around the same time. What is it with starting at such a young age? I mean, what at 14 can you learn?
I think you have to have the passion for food.
Mm-hmm.
And I always love to cook and do chocolates and pastries already at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, why waste all the time and going to school if you actually can go to a pastry school and do what you really like?
And Anna, was it the same for you?
I very much enjoy working with my hands and be creative at the same time.
So you were going to be this or a mechanic?
No, my mum actually wanted me to become a baker, as the village needed a baker.
Right.
But I was a little bit bored in the bakery, and in the patisserie you have all these interesting subjects like puff paste, chew paste, gâteaux, cakes, and chocolate is the most fantastic as it is the easiest to muck up and the most difficult to do.
And you're sitting there nodding your head furiously, Marcus. I'm taking it's the same thing. This allows you an avenue to exercise your creativity.
That's correct, yeah.
So you've worked all over the place. You've been in Europe and the Caribbean and the States and now here. What brought you to Australia?
Originally, I came to Australia 17 years ago to open the Sheraton Towers, Southgate.
Right.
And I only thought, like, I'm going to be here for 2 years and go back to LA, where I came then from. And then
you're still here.
I'm still here. Our son was born here, so then things went on and on, you know, kindergarten, school, and yeah.
So you're still here and you're still running the pastry section at the Langham Hotel. The reason we got you in, high tea at the Langham over the weekend is something that every human being should treat themselves to.
Yeah, it's very beautiful at the Langham, and especially Saturday and Sunday, we have our chocolate bar, afternoon tea, which has about 13 different pastries made from different chocolates from around the world. We have like Lindt chocolate from Switzerland, Calibo chocolate from Belgium and Michel Cluzel from France, and Valrhona chocolate from France. So we're using all these different chocolates in different pastries. And then we're also making a souffle. Each guest will get a souffle. Chocolate with passion fruit or Cointreau or Grand Marnier.
This is, obviously, you don't need to eat before you go and do afternoon tea.
No, because it's a lot. And you also get your sandwiches, scones, jam, cream.
Stop it.
Perfect afternoon tea. I know you use all of these chocolates at Ganache Chocolate, don't you?
Not all of them. We've
talked about it on Calabo.
Belcolat, Felchin, Lubeka.
Okay.
So whatever products I'm thinking of and whichever I try to achieve, I'll purchase the right ingredients for it. It's not only the chocolate that makes what we do. Mm-hmm. It's also other ingredients like raspberry purees and liqueurs and all these kind of ingredients, creams, butters.
Mm. I'm almost getting excited here, and it's wrong because I'm not a big chocolate fan. You've got something in front of you that I'm really curious about. Truffles are a new feature of the new IT event.
We have one chocolate truffle, what it's actually flavored with Italian summer truffle.
Which is a fungus. Which is found by pigs and...
Or dogs. Yes. Mm-hmm. In the ground.
Ridiculously expensive.
Yeah.
Now, is this black or white truffle?
That's white truffle.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to devour that box because my favorite flavor in the world is, in fact, white truffle. I'm not a chocolate fan, but I don't really give it tinkers because I reckon I'm going to enjoy those greatly, and they're not going to make me fat. Sorry, I do have another text message. Hi, Pete. Congrats on the profile in the Herald Sun. For those of you who didn't see it, we can arrange a PDF for you. Nice to see a positive article about gays in the Hun, which is from John. Thank you, John. Something that sort of came up in that song that we were listening to, which was in fact by Hot Chocolate, called It Started With a Kiss. Anna, you were saying that hotels are very different. You have a really high turnover of product in a hotel, and hence you can make these chocolates with truffle in them because they won't keep.
Yeah, that's right, because they wouldn't have a very long shelf life. And also, with all our chocolates, we don't put any preservatives in.
Right.
And the truffle wouldn't last very long. So after 3 days or so, we couldn't sell it anymore. So if you have a shop and that sits on your shelf... some of these things are not very doable.
Sure. And this is how it's very different for you, in that you've got...
Well, we have roughly about 60 kinds of different sorts of chocolates.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have about 40 types of different chocolate bars.
Right.
And we have hollow molds and presents and items.
Cherry ripe.
No. I do not. No. Things like that we do not have in our program.
I'm joking.
We make everything upstairs.
Yeah.
But we do have also very innovative flavors like geranium and all sorts of honey caramel and almond, which I used to make for the Royal Family in England.
Yes, this is something I noticed on your profile. You made chocolates for the Dorchester Hotel.
Yes, I worked for a company in London called Morris's Petit Fours that was supplying all the big places along mm-hmm. the Hyde Park, or also the Glen Eagle in Scotland. And I was asked to introduce a couple of new chocolates. And
for Her Majesty the Queen?
No, for my boss, right. Who then took the products into the Harrods. Mm-hmm. The Harrods was closed down for Her Royal Highness annual shopping.
Right.
And she purchased some of my chocolates and later was supplied directly from us.
There you go. You've cooked for one queen and now you're probably serving chocolates to queens by the dozen
at
your shop in Turak Road in South Yarra. You've been seduced by chocolate, Marcus, haven't you?
Yes, kind of, especially dark chocolate.
Mm. Which is not only something I have a recipe, and this is probably one of the favourite things I like to cook, which is venison. And it's a slow cook bone-in piece of venison, which is then finished with grated 80-85% chocolate.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Mm. Why do I like that so much?
Have you ever tried a Mexican traditional dish called mole with a chili chocolate sauce? So roast chicken with chili chocolate sauce, fantastic.
I really like chili.
Yeah, that's good with pigeon also.
Yes.
With pigeons?
Yeah, quail.
Not the pigeons we're going to go and knock off with a slingshot at the town hall.
Or air rifle.
No, we don't encourage that sort of behaviour at all. So where is this idea? And being a non-chocolate lover, and I don't say that lightly, I'm not somebody, I'd much rather a piece of cheese than a piece of chocolate. I need to understand this seduction that chocolate takes you both in. I know, go nuts.
I would love to show you some of our couvertures. You see, I've had in my classes various different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And it often goes back to perhaps in your childhood you had some chocolate that you didn't enjoy very much because it wasn't very good quality.
Oh, glass and a half.
I'd love to have
cream.
You over in our chocolate lounge
mm.
and let you try some different kinds, and I bet you would like it.
I'm happy to be seduced by chocolate. What is it with you, Marcus? What draws you to this one product?
I think it's the flavor, the earthiness, the bitterness. That's why I prefer the dark chocolate mm-hmm. to milk.
Yep.
I'm not too much a milk chocolate fan.
What about white chocolate? Arno and I have spoken about this already.
Not too much either.
No?
Even I have one here. What it fits good together, the flavors, the mm-hmm. elderflower and the Calvados with the white chocolate, because I think the dark chocolate would overpower the elderflower.
Elderflower, which is a very subtle...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is elderflower?
It's a flower. it's a bush, mm-hmm. but also they grow berries on. You can right. eat the elderberries mm-hmm. too. You can get elderberry liqueur mm-hmm. also, or syrup. And so most comes from France. And this liqueur what we are using is also from France, and it's called Saint-Germain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very good liqueur.
I think all liqueurs are very good liqueurs. Arno, you've solved a problem. We did have a message earlier from Grant about the pudding he was making with boozy prunes.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I've just been to Ganache, and it's a beautiful store, very professional service, and very heavenly chocolate.
Thank you very
so
much.
And that's not Fantastic. An ad, folks. That's not an ad at all. It's thank you, Grant, for your constant attention to this program today. How is it different working here with produce as it is working in places like the Caribbean or the United States?
It's the weather mm-hmm. has sometimes things to do, you know, with heat or whatever. In the Caribbean, it's pretty humid.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it's harder there to work with chocolate. But here it's nice. Usually the temperature pretty okay and it's dry. But on the beginning, 17 years ago, when I came here, produce was actually very hard to find.
Right.
So now it's getting better with that.
Well, this is an ongoing discussion we've had on this program with people like Ella Wolf Tusker and Patricia Simone and Guy Grossi last week. The change in the availability of produce has pretty much put us on the map, as the world map, as far as a foodie nation. Is that a fair assumption, asking a question to two European guys?
Yeah. It's... I think for the last 7 years
mm-hmm.
or so, it's picked up really, really well. And now I think we can say we're on top of the world.
Excellent.
I do agree. I mean, when I came first time to Australia on my motorcycle travels around the world, there was not that much available. In Europe, for example, if I see the sales rep for the couvertures, he turns up with two suitcases full of chocolates to try.
Yeah.
Here, the sales rep has got the little box with him to show me the chocolates. But what I do very much appreciate here in Australia is the quality of the oranges and the almonds. For example, we are making a lemon and myrtle truffle,
yep.
which I didn't know before I came to Australia. So
Love
we do
myrtle.
At Ganache Chocolate, we try to incorporate these fantastic Australian products like the air-roasted almonds, the oranges, the lemons,
mm-hmm.
and make a fantastic product out of that.
Mm. So it's clearly different to Europe in this, I don't know, we are so isolated from the rest of the world in so many ways, and yet we manage to compete in the world with amazing produce.
Absolutely, I do very much agree. But look, the only difference is that we chefs have to be a bit more organized because it just takes a little longer to get it.
Mm.
But we do get all the top ingredients that we would use in Europe. It's only a matter of time and money.
Do you have to make the consideration, and this is certainly to both of you again, do you have to make a consideration about your carbon footprint, about the environmental impact of bringing stuff in from Europe?
We certainly do. Look, I'm not going to buy Turkish hazelnuts if I can get a beautiful hazelnut here in Australia. Mm. I'm not going to buy oranges from Italy if I can buy beautiful oranges from Adelaide. Mm. So very much we try to do our big part. We mm-hmm. also use paper bags instead of plastic bags.
Mm-hmm.
And all our packaging is paper and cardboard rather than plastic.
Is it the same at the Langham, Marcus?
Yeah, I think it's the same at the Langham. Mm-hmm. And we try to source first everything what we can get from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we cannot find it in a good quality, yeah, then we would have to go overseas.
Sure.
Like pistachios that we get from Turkey.
Right.
And or Morocco. What are beautiful. They're nice and green.
Mm-hmm.
And but macadamia nuts, of course, they're...
You don't get any better macadamia nuts than you do in this country.
That's right.
My good friend, you don't at all. Why do we not have the climate to grow pistachios, or are people just not doing it?
Well, maybe people just don't do it, but I know with hazelnuts, that's a climate, it's really not here that good. Hazelnuts are very hard to grow here. In Tasmania, they're starting now. They do actually a lot in
climate.
Tasmania. Yeah, they do a lot. Tasmania's a climate, it's more closer to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you can get now also truffles in Tasmania. And yeah, a lot of things they're doing there.
Guys, unfortunately, we've been so seduced that the time has escaped us. We've got about 30 seconds left of the show. So, again, chocolate courses at Ganache Chocolate, 250 Toorak Road in South Yarra. You can go to their website. Arno, what's your website?
It's ganachechocolate.com.au.
ganachechocolate.com.au. If you would like to partake of afternoon tea, high tea at the Langham, you need to ring and book.
Yes, you have to book at the Langham.
Mm-hmm.
And... the best is you do it at least 1 or 2 weeks in advance.
Sure.
Because we are booked out.
Excellent.
Pretty much.
And a web address or a web page for the Langham?
We have www.
All the W's langhamhotels.com, and then you follow the links to Langham Hotel here in Melbourne. Yeah. Arno, thanks for sticking around for the hour. Marcus, thank you for coming in. Thank you both for... these very generous gifts of chocolate, which I'm going to skip around the street now and hand about. And continued success for both of you.
Thanks very much, Pete.
This has been Cravings on Joy 94.9.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.